It's Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levillier. Coming up in this hour, sitcoms. With a twist, we'll be hearing two audition recordings. A little bit later on, Moon Mullins with Sheldon Leonard. But right now, it's the radio audition of I Love Lucy. Some old-time radio researchers have speculated that this might be the audio from a television version, as the script was filmed on January 5th, 1952, and broadcast on February 11th of that year, with parts augmented for radio by Desi Arnaz. But researchers are fairly certain that this is, in fact, the audition for radio. From February 26th or 7th, 1952 on CBS, the TV cast does indeed star Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz, Vivian Vance, and William Frawley.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in I Love Lucy. And now, by transcription, let's join Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz as Lucy and Ricky Ricardo in I Love Lucy.
Hello, I'm Ricky Ricardo, and I'm the guy who loves Lucy. The whole thing started 10 years ago. I had just come to this country from Cuba, and I didn't know much about your customs. The first girl I had a date with was Lucy. It was a romantic night. And after all, I had a reputation to live up to as a Latin lover, so I kissed her goodnight. It was right then that she told me that under the Constitution of the United States, if a man kisses a girl, he has to marry her. And I found out she tricked me. I didn't care. Because after all, if I hadn't married her, I would have married someone else. And Lucy's just like any other American girl, who is pretty, charming, witty, and partly insane. Always doing such crazy things. Take the other night, for instance. I came home about midnight from the Tropicana. That's the nightclub where I work. Now, some wives would be fast asleep in bed, but not Lucy. She invited our landlord, Fred Merce, and his wife, Ethel, who live on the floor below us, to come over for a little jam session. So naturally, being something of a singer myself, I joined in.
Well, I'm glad you came up, Fred.
See you in the morning.
Good.
Goodbye, Al. Goodbye, Al.
Bye.
People. Yeah, they sure had a lot of fun, honey.
Oh, I had such a good time tonight. I want to live in this apartment the rest of my life.
Well, honey, I think that you and I and Fred and Ethel are fated to go through life together.
Yep.
Hey, look. Ethel left her rings here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, honey, she's absolutely right. People ought to do more singing in this world.
That's right, honey.
Every star above knows the one I love.
Thing to do, but not with Lucy and me. We always argue about the temperature of the bedroom. Lucy, who is part polar bear, likes lots of fresh air. If she had her way, we could rent the bedroom out as a deep freeze. Now, like every normal person, I like to sleep in a room with the windows closed and the heat turned as high as it will go. You know, warm and cozy. As usual, the battle of the bloodstream began. Lucy put the window up. I put the window down.
Oh, no, you don't.
Now, what do you want me to do?
A little fresh air isn't going to hurt you, you hothouse plant.
Hello?
Will you cut out that racket up there?
Fred?
Yes, Fred? How do you expect people to get any sleep?
Well, I was only closing the windows.
What with, a sledgehammer?
Now listen, Fred.
Listen, my foot. Now let's have it quiet up there.
Huh. How do you like that?
Let's have it quiet up there, he says.
Some lousy landlords they are.
Yeah. Nurse to the merge.
Good night, baby. Good night,
honey.
Oh, no. The shower is dripping.
Oh. Yep, sure is.
Somebody should get up and fix it.
Yep. Somebody should.
Well?
Well?
This isn't getting us any place. We'll both get up and fix it.
What?
That's the only fair way. When I count to three, we'll both jump out of bed.
All right.
You ready?
Ready.
Okay. One. Two. either of us.
Apparently.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, that shower can drip all night. I just don't care. I won't pay any attention to it.
All right, neither will I.
All right.
All right.
Rings on your piano last night.
Yes, you did, Mrs. Mertz. I'd be very happy to get them for you.
Oh, don't bother. I'll get them. If they're still there. I don't know why you should worry. You can always buy another box of Cracker Jack. I'll have you know these are real diamonds. Mrs. Ricardo, would you be so kind as to inform me just when we are to be deprived of your charming company?
Very shortly.
Good.
Thank you.
My, it'll certainly be nice getting away from such disagreeable people.
It certainly will.
Would you like to give me the check for the next 5 months' rent now?
Of course, I'd be delighted.
What do you mean, the next 5 months' rent? Well, if you're leaving, you have to pay off your lease.
Our lease?
Yes, don't you remember? You begged me on bended knee to give you a lease, just so that no one else could have this fantastically inexpensive, lovely apartment.
Oh, you mean that one-sided, unfair, binding contract that we were forced to sign before you would grant us the privilege of moving into this broken-down hovel?
Broken-down is right. Look at this place. It'll take the next 5 months' rent to redecorate.
Redecorate?
Yes. After we fumigate. You can leave the check in my mailbox.
Ooh. Honey, I don't seem to be
able
to...
Oh, shut up!
What's the matter with you?
Oh, I'm sorry. Ethel was just up here and she made me so darn mad.
What now?
She says they're going to hold us to our lease. We have to give them 5 months' rent before we can leave. I guess we're stuck here.
Well, now, that all depends.
On what?
On whether we can break the lease or not.
Do you think we can?
Could be.
What's on your mind?
We are going to become the two most unpleasant, disagreeable, nasty people in the whole world.
But how?
We'll force ourselves.
Let's see now. What can we think of that'll make them kick us out?
nastier. We'll get it.
And now back to I Love Lucy, starring Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz as Lucy and Ricky Ricardo.
Well, after we decided to try and break our lease, Lucy and I spent the whole morning thinking of ways to annoy the nurses. I had to go to rehearsal at noon, so I left Lucy in charge of Operation Nasty. And I couldn't have left it in more capable hands. What a brain she has. If you ever need any good, clean, dirty work done, I've got just the kit. As you know, the nurses live directly beneath us. And when I came home, I found Lucy stamping around the room in football shoes, throwing books on the floor, and generally making as much noise as she could.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
How's my little list breaker doing?
Just fine. How's baseball rehearsal?
Oh, pretty good, honey.
Look, a riveter's hammer. Watch.
I got a 16-piece band. I'll blow the roof off the joint.
Well, doesn't look like rain.
I'll do it. I'll do it.
Okay, fellas. Remember, this is to break the lease, so make it loud. One.
Bongo de lo que se va, bongo de lo que se va. Acumba, 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 banchero, banchero. Abongo, bongo, 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 cero, cero. Riquiti que va sonando el cumbanchero, bongo de lo que se va, bongo de lo que se va. Si suena así el tambor, periquiti, bum, 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 pa. Y vuelve a repicar, periquiti, bum, 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 pa. Acumba, 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 banchero, cero. Abongo, bongo, 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 cero, cero. Riquiti que va sonando el cumbanchero, bongo, cero que se va, bongo, cero. ¡Eh! ¡Ah!
Bongo cero que se va.
married you. I haven't heard a peep out of them.
Oh, boy, this is swell.
Honey, who are all these people?
I don't know, but the more the noisier.
Yeah.
All right, we'll dedicate the next number to Fred and Ethel Mertz.
Right.
All right. Fred and Ethel Mertz?
Yes, our lovely landlord.
They won't hear this. They're still down in the street.
Down in the street?
Yes, I have a big sign that says jam session tonight. Ricky Ricardo in person, and they're selling tickets.
Oh, no!
It was too cold outside.
Oh.
They sold us the last ticket.
Oh, they're back in their apartment, are they? Well, we'll dedicate the next number to Fred and Ethel Mertz, an old Cuban folk dance called El Breco de Liso.
El Breco de Liso?
Yes.
How does this old Cuban folk dance go?
Ta-dum, ta-dum, ta-dum.
Well, the next few days we spent packing. Finally, on Saturday morning, I put the last dish in the last barrel, and Lucy took the pictures off the wall. We were ready to leave the Mercer's apartment house forever.
Is that all, honey?
I think so. It'll certainly be good to get out of this joint, won't it?
Did you tell Ethel we were moving today?
Well, I haven't seen her since she brought up the lease. I mailed her a note telling her to come up and get the keys today.
What shall I do about this?
What is it?
It's a picture of us and Fred and Ethel taken in Atlantic City last summer.
Oh.
We sure had a lot of fun there, didn't we?
Yeah.
What should I do, throw it away?
Oh, no, no, I better pack it.
Huh?
Well, we can always cut them out with the scissors.
What are all these things here?
Oh, there's some things I borrowed from Ethel. She has a lot of my things, too, if she hasn't sold them.
You know, I got a lot of tools that belong to Fred. Some of them we bought together. What shall I do about those?
I don't know. Gee, it's amazing we could have been such good friends with a couple of stinkers.
Yeah. We sure had a lot of fun in the last 9 years. Until they show their true colors.
Yeah. Well, that just shows you how sneaky they are.
Yeah. Hey, honey, you want some paper for that? Come in, please.
Oh, these are yours.
Oh, thanks. These are yours, I guess.
Thanks.
It's all right.
Here's some things of yours that somehow got into my apartment. Thanks. There are some of your things that I managed to get hold of. It's all there. You can count it if you like. Oh, well, that won't be necessary, Mrs. Mertz. I trust you. You do?
Fred, it doesn't matter to me, you know, but for some crazy reason or other, I think Lucy wants to stay. Don't you, Lucy?
Well, it doesn't matter to me either, but it's up to Ethel. What do you say, honey?
You heard what the girl said. I guess we're staying, eh?
Yeah.
Only this time I want a long
just happen to have a new lease already made out.
Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz featured Vivian Vance and William Frawley as Ethel and Fred Mertz. Tonight's program was written by Jess Oppenheimer, Madeline Pugh, and Bob Carroll, Jr., and edited by Sterling Tracy. John Stevenson speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The radio audition of I Love Lucy from February 27th, 1952 on the CBS Radio Network. It goes without saying the tremendous success the program had on television, but did not pan out on radio. You're listening to Tuned to Yesterday with an hour of sitcoms. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. Now the second audition recording for this hour. It's Moon Mullins from January 31st, 1947, starring TV producer Sheldon Leonard. The CBS radio broadcast released for consideration on January 31st, 1947.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following statement by Mr. Moon Mullins did not necessarily reflect the opinion of anyone in his right mind. Quote,
I and K.O. and all the rest of the gang that lives at Plush Bottom's boarding house is just one big, happy family.
For the past 23 years, Frank Willard's famous comic strip character, Moon Mullins, has brought entertainment to millions of people. Tonight, Moon and his little brother, K.O., Uncle Willie and Mamie, Lord Plushbottom and his wife, Emmy, are here to entertain you in person. As knife clatters against fork, as spoon rattles in cup, as upper plate clicks against lower plate, we take you to the charming domestic atmosphere of breakfast time at the Plushbottom boarding house.
Doggone it.
Hey, Moon, what are you trying to do? Put your eye out.
That's what you get for leaving your spoon in the cup.
If you had any sense, you'd drink it out of your saucer.
K.O., that ain't polite.
Oh, quite right, Moonchild. One must always remember one's manners if one is going to be successful in society.
Gee, Plushie, you must have a lousy memory.
K.O., never mind that.
All right, Emmy. But Plushie, talking about society gives me a pain in the...
Never mind that, either.
Yeah, and lay off cracking about Plushie. Now, if you'd follow his example, you might grow up to be a gentleman.
I don't want to be a gentleman, Moon. I want to be a bum like you.
Oh, you little hero worshiper. But if I didn't know you meant that for a compliment, I'd smash that derby right down around your shoulders.
You and who else?
My stars, must we always have these arguments at the breakfast table?
Look, we can stop now so we'll have something to look forward to at dinner.
Say, how long are you goons going to sit there gassing? I got to shampoo them dishes.
You may clear the table, Mamie.
That's all I do. Put it on and take it off. I'm just a gypsy rose by another name. Anybody want any more coffee?
Why, yes, Mamie, my little flower. I'll have some.
Well, there ain't any.
Hey, Mamie, I won't be home to dinner tonight.
That's the best news I've heard since the two-way stretch.
Got a big financial deal down at Dogface Wallace's pool room, Moon?
No, I ain't. I got a date with Miss Peachy. I'm going to take her to a favorite little spot of mine. One of them quiet, romantical little places where we can be close together.
Well, you better get good and close. In this weather, you can freeze to death on a park bench.
Oh, what matter the weather when romance is in the air? Let the gales blow. Let the snow fall. They'll have their love to keep them warm.
Get him.
Now, take it easy, Plushie. Take it easy or you'll come down with an attack of blood pressure.
Oh, Moon, my starry-eyed swain, go forth to your love and know that me heart is with you. For though I fast approach the mellow years of a... middle age, romance still pounds through my veins.
Is that what makes your nose light up?
K.O., how many times have I told you his lordship's nose got that way from frostbite?
Yes, my lad. It happened when I led the first expedition up the icy slopes of Mount Everest.
Well, lead this expedition out of this dining room, will you? I gotta get these dishes.
Hey, why don't you wake up Uncle Willie and make him help you?
Wake him up? If I knew where to find that no-good husband of mine, I'd wake him up and put him to sleep the hard way.
Hey, Cale, if that ball bounces up here in the porch and hits me, I'll punch you right in the nose.
Hey, don't be so nervous. Go back to sleep.
I ain't sleeping. I got a heavy financial problem to wake on. Hi, Emmy.
Sleeping again, I see.
Hey, where is everybody, Emmy?
Mamie's out back doing the wash, and Lord P went down to his broker's.
Oh, yeah. I remember he had a hot tip in the fourth at Tropical Park.
K.O., you going to be around the house this morning?
How much is it worth, Tammy?
Well, I should think one would be willing to do one a favor once in a while.
How much is one offering one?
Well, 37 cents.
37 cents? What a nice round number.
Plus, she gives K.O. more than that not to tell where the bottle's hid.
Well, my stars, how did you know about that moonshine?
Well, don't worry, it's empty.
My stars, his lordship was saving that in case of illness.
Well, I ain't been feeling very good myself lately.
Now, listen, K.O., if you'll stay home and do what I ask, I'll bring some ice cream home for dinner tonight.
Ice cream? That's for kids. What flavor?
We'll see. Now, here's what I want you to do. I and Lord Plushbottom are going to the Humane Society costume ball tonight. Lord Plushbottom has ordered a costume.
Well, why don't he go just like he is? Nobody believe it.
His lordship is going as an Indian chief. And I and Mrs. Fuddy are going jointly as a lady horse. I'm going over to her house now to try on our costume. Now, here's what I want you to do, K.O. When the man comes with Lord P's Indian chief, you give him this $10.
Look, Emmy, being as how I'm older than K.O. and got more experience in heavy financial deals, it ought to be logical to anybody that I'm the man to handle the money. I say it ought to be logical to anybody that I'm the man to... All right, let K.O. handle the money.
Now, here you are, K.O. I'm going to Mrs. Fuddy's now. You take good care of the money and be careful.
Okay, Emmy.
Hey, K.O., quit bouncing that ball against the house. You're shaking a building.
Well, you know what made it loose.
Yeah, what?
Mamie throwing you against it.
Well, that's different. That's only from the inside. She just happens to miss the door with me. K.O., will you quit bouncing that ball, I tell you? Besides, that's no way to look after them $10. If you're going to move around like that, let me hold it. Then you can run off and play like a good little boy.
I ain't no good at imitation. Forget it, Moon. I'm hanging on to the dough like Emmy says.
Say, K.O., how'd you like to play a little game with me, huh?
What kind of game?
Well, come on up here on the porch and I'll show you.
What's the game, Moon?
Well, this here little game's called blackjack. Ever play blackjack, K.O.?
Don't think so, Moon. Is it like mumbly peg?
Well, kind of, except you play it with cards. Now, the idea of this here game is to make your cards total 21, or as near as you can get without going over.
Yeah, that sounds like an arithmetic lesson.
Maybe, but we can make it more interesting.
How?
Well, we each put half our money in the center, here, and winner, take all.
Oh, all I got is this $10 Emmy gimme.
Hey, K.O., ain't you never heard of beginner's luck?
What's that?
Well, the best way to explain it is that when you're a beginner, you have luck.
You don't mean like last summer when you taught me to shoot craps, do you?
No. But you wasn't exactly a beginner then. You'd already been playing Parcheesi. Now, K.O., I tell you what we're going to do. Now, let's put our money out first.
Let's see, what's half of $10?
$7.
Right. I was just trying to see if you was trying to cheat. Okay, here it is. How much do you got, Moon?
97 cents.
Somehow that don't seem right to me. I got my 7 out there, and I only got $3 left.
Well, look, you ain't putting up a cent of your own money. I'm putting up all of mine.
So what?
Well, you ain't got nothing to lose. I stand to lose everything, to get wiped out. But what's more, because you're a beginner, I'm going to give you what we call odds.
What do you mean, odds?
Well, you see, I'm twice as old as you are.
Yeah.
Now, if I and Lord Plushbottom was playing, he'd have to give me odds, because he's twice as old as me. After all, K.O., ain't we been brothers a long time?
Don't remind me. It seems like a lifetime. Now, what do we do, Moon?
Well, I'll put a half of my 97 cents up. 29, 30, 31. There, 32 cents.
Hey, wait a minute, Moon. If a 97 is 33.
That's right, Cale. Hey, for a kid who don't go to school except when I catch you, you know, you're pretty smart.
It's plain common sense. I always did say school is only for them that's ignorant. What do we do now, Moon?
Well, I deal you two cards, and I take two myself. There. What do you got, Cale?
I got two tens. Let's see, that makes, 0 and 0 is 0. That's something I never could see, adding zeros. 1 and 2 is 1 and 1 is 2. That makes...
20.
That's right. Looks pretty good to me, Moon. What do you got?
Why, 12. Now, Cale, I'll give you one more card to see if you can make 21.
What do you know, an ace? 21. Gee, 21, huh, Moon?
And now I'll take another card. A 10.
No. 10 and 12 makes, 22. You went over, Moon. I guess I win, huh?
Oh, Kayo, I forgot to tell you. You know, when you got three cards and you got over 21, when you're playing odds, you subtract.
How do you mean?
You subtract 1. Now, that gives you 20 and me 21, and since I'm the dealer, I win.
Well, right is right. Can I deal next hand, Moon?
Why, yeah, Cale, sure, you can deal.
Okay, how do I start?
Well, you give me one. You give you one. Give me one. Give you one. Now, you see, Cale, it's just a poor and simple game of give and take. You give.
Losing that $10, Moon, if it had been mine.
Well, since it wasn't yours, what are you worrying about?
Emmy's liable to get kind of sore about it.
Oh, don't worry about it, Cale.
In fact, I'm liable to get kind of sore about it myself. Down the seat of my pants.
Cale, I got an idea. I wouldn't want you to get in no trouble with Emmy. So, I've been thinking.
Hey, Moon, this ain't another game, is it?
No, nothing like that. You know, Cale, plushy wouldn't look so hot going to that party as an Indian chief. He ain't got the right build for it, for one thing.
He ain't got the right build, period. The only thing that fits him is his name, Plush Bottom.
Well, he might be able to fit into a suit of armor.
Maybe, if we grease it a bit. Oh, hey,
Well, like I said, I got an idea. Now, it so happens that Pig Ears Lowry got a suit of armor that he bought back from the war.
You mean you can get it to lend it to you?
Oh, why not? Didn't I lend him the loan of my bathing suit last year?
Yeah, but that was a pretty old bathing suit.
Well, this is a pretty old suit of armor. Yep, I think I'll pay Pig Ears a call.
You think you'll be home?
Well, I'll just have to take a chance on that.
Suppose he ain't home. How are you going to get the armor?
Well, I'll just have to take a chance. There. I guess it'll be all right here in the hallway.
Gee, that's a swell-looking suit of armor, all right. Good thing Pig Ears was home.
Pig Ears wasn't home.
Hey, Moon, you didn't...
Now, K.O., you don't think I'd do anything out of the contrary.
Do I have to think?
Why, you know Pig Ears always says around his place it's always open house.
How did you open it?
Well, I sort of had to break a window a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hiya, Plushy. How did you do it? You broke it. When Plushy showed.
Rather an unrewarding day. Plating was very slow.
Muddy track, huh?
The weather was somewhat unsettled. My word, who's that standing in the corner?
Nobody you know, Plushy. Just a suit of armor. It's for you.
Why, of course. How silly of me not to recognize it. Oh, but I haven't worn one since the Boer War. It's for me.
Yep, Plushy. You're wearing it to the costume ball tonight.
Why, I thought I was going as an Indian chief.
Well, the Indian chief costume looked kind of crummy, and after all, we don't want to give the Indians a bad name, do we?
No, you're perfectly right, Moonshine, yes.
Well, I got to be going. Got to attend to a transaction downtown.
You have a nice time this evening, Moon.
Thanks, Flushy. So long.
Yeah, better put some more chalk on your cue, Moon. Don't want to rip up the pool table again.
Shh, Uncle Willie. Dogface Wallace might hear you. Yeah. He still don't know who did it the last time. Seven ball in the corner.
What corner did you have in mind, Moon? The street corner? Say, it certainly was nice of you to come down and get me out of the sneezer.
It was nothing, Uncle Willie. You'll do it for me. We just happen to know the social graces, that's all.
Yeah.
It just proves we come from a good family. A loyal family. The kind of family that's the backbone of America.
Well, one end of the backbone, at least.
You know, Uncle Willie, I and you have the same ideas. The same principles and lack of same. You're a lot like me.
Oh, Moon, that's a nasty thing to say about anybody.
Oh, you're just modest, Uncle Willie. You're a man with class like me. Why, I'd never go inside a pool parlor except for one thing.
What one thing?
Pool table. Say, Willie, you better use the bridge on that shot. I say, Willie, you better use...
Nice wood under that felt. Well, Moon, that's our cue to drop our cues and run along. See you later, nephew.
Hey, wait a minute, Uncle Willie. You still got on my shoes.
Oh, gee, Moon, you're going to make me go home barefoot.
Well, you wouldn't want to wear them squeaky new shoes home anyhow, Uncle Willie.
Why not, Moon?
Well, I should think one wouldn't want to wear one's squeaky shoes to go sneaking into one's house when one's wife is waiting for one with a frying pan in her hand.
Is Mamie really waiting for me?
Well, she don't use that frying pan for cooking after 6 o'clock.
Mm. Maybe she'll fall asleep, huh?
Yeah, fat chance with Plushy rattling home after the ball in his suit of armor.
How's that, Moon?
Suit of what? A suit of armor. Plushy and Emmy's at the Humane Society costume ball tonight, and his lordship's wearing a suit of armor I borrowed for him.
Suit of armor, huh?
Yep.
Made of metal?
Yep.
Covers the whole body?
Every inch.
Here's your shoes, Moon.
Thanks, Uncle Willie. Well, I got a date with Miss Peachy. See you in the funny papers.
Stars, what a lovely ball that was. And when they gave I and Mrs. Fuddy first prize for bringing the best horse fair, I just swelled with pride. Oh, and you certainly made a great impression on everybody, Lord P. So distinguished, even without a glass in your hand. It's a shame you had to stand in one place all night long. Oh, right here, driver.
Okay, lady. Say, lady, what's the idea of the zoot suit with the swank clank?
That is a suit of mail.
Well, you ought to mail it back.
A suit of mail is a suit of armor. I'll have you know it was worn by men of the Middle Ages.
You mean you married a guy younger than yourself?
I am referring to the days of old when knighthood was in flower.
I don't know, lady. That must have been before my time. The fare's 65 cents. Let's see you dig the dough out of that piggy bank sitting behind you.
Pay the man, Lord Piggy. Lord Flushbottom.
Maybe a can opener would help.
I can't seem to get at my money, my dear.
What was that?
It was just my husband, driver.
Sounds like he was in a boiler room.
But it isn't exactly Buckingham Palace, you know.
Oh, here, let me look in my purse. There you are, 65 cents. I'm afraid I ain't got enough change to give you a tip.
That's all right, lady. Just get that walking junk pile out of my hat.
Come along, Lord Peter. Here's the front door. Let me find my key now. Oh, here it is.
Oh, get this accursed thing off.
Well, you'd better take it off in the living room. If you try to go upstairs, you'll wake the whole house.
It'll be good enough to hand me the wrench and the screwdriver, my dear.
Well, here you are. Let me help.
Well, let's get the helmet off first, Emily. Goodness, that's over. Well, my dear, let's go upstairs.
All right, but put that thing down. I should think you'd be tired carrying a battle axe around all evening.
After 15 years of matrimony, Emily, one gets accustomed to a battle axe.
It's past midnight in the plush-bottom boarding house once again, and everybody is safe in bed. Almost everybody, that is. For here comes a straggler up the walk. Can't mistake that derby hat. Why, it's Moon. And out of consideration of those who are sleeping, he enters quietly.
Oh, gotcha!
Mamie, what did you want to go and hit me with that skillet for?
Shh. My mistake, Moon. I thought you was an accomplice.
A what?
An accomplice for that burglar in the parlor.
Shh. Mamie, what's going on here?
Well, I thought I heard Willie come in, see? When I come downstairs, I noticed that man standing in the parlor. Now, look, Moon. You can see him over there by the window.
Yeah. He's a big guy, too. And say, he's got an axe in his hand.
I already called the cops.
Cops? Well... You don't need me, then. I'll just go on back and say goodnight to Miss Peachy again.
Moon Mullins, if you make a move to leave me here now, you won't be able to say nothing to Miss Peachy.
Oh, Mamie, I...
Say, didn't I just see a moon?
No. I don't think so. Say, Mamie, wouldn't it be better if I went out and surrounded the house?
Here comes the cops.
You got a good grip on your skillet, Mamie?
You ought to know.
Open up in the name of the law!
You don't have to break down the door.
Oh, my word, what's going on?
Hey, where's the breaker?
He's in the front room, officer.
No. Don't worry, lady, I got him covered. Come on out, you. Turn on that light. Say, what kind of a gag is this?
Why, that's my suit of armor.
You mean you got us all the way out here for nothing?
Hey, wait a minute.
What is it, K.O.?
I thought I saw that suit of armor move. Hey, it is moving.
Hello, folks.
William, you worm. What are you doing in that armor?
Can't one come into one's own home without one calling the cops?
No, one can't. Not even if one thinks one can hide in a suit of armor, you worm.
Lying, Willie.
Yeah, but these is my stars.
Hold your hat. Here we go again.
Oh, no, no,
what? Oh, in the name of the law.
My God, cops on top of cops.
Is this the residence of one Moonshine Mullins?
What name was that?
Moonshine Mullins.
I never heard of him. Try next door.
You tell him, Moon.
Oh, so you're Moon Mullins.
You want to make something of it?
Yeah, I got a warrant here for your arrest.
My word, I'll see here. What charge may I ask?
Forcible entry, housebreaking, and larceny of one suit of armor.
Sounds like a good day's work.
But who made out this here charge, officer, sir?
A party name of Marmaduke Lowry.
Pig-ears Lowry?
The same.
Why, that... Well, that's the last time I'll lend him my bathing suit.
House. K.O. Mullins, bell captain speaking.
Hello, K.O.
Hello, Moon. Did you get a nice cell?
Yeah. Same one as usual.
How much is your bail?
$20.
Wait a minute, Moon. How come it only cost Uncle Willie $10 and it's costing you $20?
$10 for me and $10 for the suit of armor.
Oh, well, I get it. The cops are giving you what they call odds. So long, Moon.
And so with Moon languishing in the sneezer and with peace in the plush bottom household, at least until next week, we leave our friends to their own devices. And if one wishes to hear what happens next week, one can tune in again. Same time, same station, can't one? Good night.
Moon Mullins on Tuned to Yesterday, a CBS radio audition from January 31st, 1947, another show that did not pan out. And that wraps this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levinier. It's been a pleasure.